It's our missions focus day. This is our year of missions. It's not one of our missions conferences. This is not one of our day focusing on the five Bible schools around the world that we're making an investment through our year of missions. This is just a day to focus on missions and a divinely orchestrated day, I believe, because today, in one day, we are able to have both the senior bishop and the assistant bishop of the Pentecostal Union of Moldova with us. The Republic of Moldova is a nation this church has partnered with over the years. Don Jakes and many of you have gone overseas on prayer teams and building teams to Moldova over the years. And we are just so honored to have, both morning and night, these wonderful leaders. They're sort of like the general superintendent and assistant superintendent of our movement here in the Assemblies of God. They're the equivalent in Moldova. And we are grateful to have Brother Peter Borsch with us, who has given such leadership. He gave leadership to the unregistered church through the years of communist domination as a part of the former Soviet Union in years past, and now continues to be the senior bishop. And it's wonderful to have Brother and Sister Borsch with us. They'll be speaking tonight, but I would like them to stand. And let's welcome Brother and Sister Borsch, these wonderful servants of God from the Republic of Moldova. Thank you for your wonderful leadership. And during that same time, Peter Borsch, who is our speaker, Victor Pavlovsky, who is our speaker this morning, was the leader of the registered Pentecostal Union in Moldova. Now they have combined them into one great union that God is blessing. And Victor Pavlovsky is the assistant bishop, the associate bishop of the Pentecostal Union in Moldova. But more than that, he is a part of the Central Assembly family. And back in the 1990s, when he was studying at the Assemblies of God Theological Seminary, Peter and his wife Maria and their five children were all a part of Central Assembly. And we are saying to them this morning, welcome home. Hallelujah. Maria, will you stand, please? This is Maria. Welcome home. Wonderful to see you again. And it is our great privilege to have Victor Pavlovsky come and bring God's word and a report on what God is doing in the Republic of Moldova on this Missions Day. Let's welcome Victor as he comes and preaches.
Good morning, everybody. It's a great privilege for me to be back at Central Assembly. I feel like I'm home. Even though almost 10 years ago, since we moved from this place back to our home country, Moldova, 1999 in July 17, Sunday night, all of you prayed for us. And with our family, kids, and my wife, we went back to Moldova. And of course, in those days, we knew that the life is different in Moldova compared to what is life in America. And we expected to have some surprises, but I didn't know to what extent. And of course, when we just arrived to our homeland, there is no electricity, there is no running water, there is no gas, darkness all over the country. From the airport, Peter and other brothers met us. So we went home to my parents. Everybody was expecting there, my brothers, to meet us because they haven't seen kids and my wife for 3 years. And my parents wanted to see grandkids. And they went out from their home with the candles lighting. So that because it was darkness, and when we arrived to that place, our kids were looking around, darkness all over, scared, and said, "Daddy, where we come?" And I said, "Yeah, we came home." They looked around and they said, "Can we go back?" We like Central Assembly more than we want to be here in Moldova. Let us go back. And of course, we enjoy it. We enjoy the time when we spend here with you at those days. But of course, God placed a special call in our life. And we wanted to be obedient more to the call of God. And that is the most important, what God wants from us, to obey Him. and to do what He wants us to do in our time, in our days. And this is very, very important to us. I do remember, you know, I say this way, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, but it's not because I was born in a Christian family. It's not because my parents were the believers. I'm the believer and Christian because I accepted Jesus into my life as my personal Savior. I'm the Pentecostal, but I'm not the Pentecostal because my parents were the Pentecostals. And it's not because I'm going to the Pentecostal, or I was going to the Pentecostal church. It's not because of that, but because when I was 13 years old, God filled me with His Holy Spirit. He baptized me, and the Pentecost became my personal experience, and that is so important in my life because that marked a difference in my life. Before that day, as a young boy, I was going to school, and in school, there was atheistic time when we were taught that there is no God. In God believe only old people, uneducated people. And I do remember when I went to school, in almost all classrooms, on the wall was written, do you know this name, Lenin? From the Soviet days, well, Lenin, and that was written, Lenin live, Lenin live, Lenin will live forever. When I read first time, I said, no, that's not true. That's not true. And I was the only one believer in the whole class. And everybody looked at me and says, why it's not true? Because I said, I know where he is. If you will go to Moscow, you will find him there. He still is there and he's dead. It's not alive. But I know the one who is alive. And I went one time to Jerusalem, and I went to Israel, and I went to that tomb, and I was able to read on the door of that tomb there, He is not here. He is alive. And that is not Lenin, that Jesus. And we preach about Jesus. And we believe in Jesus. And we worship Jesus. Because of Him, we are who we are. And I'm so glad and I'm privileged that that Jesus called me to His ministry. That Jesus, when He baptized me with the Holy Spirit, He spoke through the prophecy to me, I'm calling you to a specific ministry that you cannot comprehend right now, but you will see it as the time will pass by. Yeah. And I was amazing what kind of ministry Lord you want to give it to me, especially in this Soviet Union country. What I will be doing. And of course, God was speaking more and more that the day is coming. The day is coming when my word, the Lord was saying, will be preached all over this country. When the Bibles will be available to everyone who wants to have the Bible. It was difficult to believe in those days that this will be true. But the Spirit of God was speaking and churches was praying. And let me tell you, last year in our nation, but not only in our nation, we celebrated 20th anniversary since we started first time to preach openly the gospel in the former Soviet Union area. 20 years of freedom, 20 years of open doors, 20 years of possibility to preach the gospel. Of course, for me, those 20 years like it yesterday. The only one thing the works tells us that it was time. I remember when I first time went to Moscow, not first time, but that was one of the times when I went to, for the first Pentecostal Union Congress in Moscow. 51 churches gathered together to found so-called Pentecostal Union of Russia. 51. Now in that moment, only in that moment, over 2,000 churches. During the Soviet Union days, it was about 2,000 Pentecostal churches in the former Soviet Union. Now in that area, over 12,000 Pentecostal churches. And this is the Spirit of God is doing this work. I consider myself as a privileged generation. It's a generation, because I was called to the ministry when the freedom started to come, when the Gorbachev was the president, and once on TV he announced that what is not forbidden by constitution, it's been permitted. And we look at our constitution, and there was nothing said in constitution that the preaching of the gospel is forbidden. So we use that word, and we started to organize evangelistic outreaches and preaching the gospel for the first time. We didn't have any experiences of how to do it. We didn't have the chance to stand before thousands of people. But here God is opening the door, and he gives us the possibility to proclaim his power and his gospel. And that was for the first time. But I'm so thankful to God that was not only one-time experience. Now it's for 20 years. In every place the gospel was preached. When the Holy Spirit was telling us that my word would be preached on the stadium, for us it was difficult and hard to believe, Lord, in this country. That my word would be preached in the palace of cultures. I said, no, that's the communist places. They never will allow us to use those places. But let me tell you, the word of God was preached in every possible place. In every places. Before I became full-time minister, I work in construction. And as a contractor, we went and we remodeled a lot of those fancy palace of cultures. And I had a team who worked with me. And those people were young people, were Christian people, good constructors. We were doing those remodeling nice, and we were standing there, and I was telling to my members of my team, I said, if these people just will allow us only once to come and sing one song from this platform to the glory of God, that will be wonderful. But of course, nobody would allow us to do that in those days. Nobody. Then when freedom came, I built an evangelistic team, not the construction team. And now we started to build the kingdom of God and to rebuild the people. And now we set a plan, and I said, we will go to every palace of culture which we remodeled. And we will have crusades in all of those places, and we will plant churches in those towns. And God help us to do this. And we give glory to God for everything what it was possible. I remember one day, 1992, with the evangelistic team, we went to Moscow. Because we've got a possibility to preach the gospel in the Kremlin Palace. We went there, 5,000 auditorium, the heart of the atheism. The place from where everybody declared there is no God. And here we are standing in the same place. There is no communist party. It was dismissed. There is nothing there. No atheists and all that. But there we were standing. And from that place we were declaring there is only one God. The one God who gave us that possibility and that freedom. And for 3 nights, we preached the gospel, and thousands of people were saved in the Kremlin Palace accepting Jesus. So that was a powerful experience. Yes, I consider myself as a privileged generation because God gave me the possibility to preach the gospel. God gave me the possibility to see all the things. I do remember that crusade in the Kremlin Palace. On the platform, there was a chairs. And those chairs were used by the presidium of the Communist Party. All the Politburo of the Communist Party was sitting there. And now we decided to invite pastors and leaders who were sentenced to prison because they were obedient to the Word of God. And they were in ministry, and because of that, they were sentenced by the communists to prison. And now we ask those people, those pastors who be into prison because your faith, now we would like you to come and occupy all those chairs. And the pastors and the leaders, they came and they occupied those honor chairs. And we said, this is the way how God wants to honor his people. And this is the way how God is worthy to receive all the glory. From that place where everybody declared, and from that place where everywhere around the world went this atheistic, godless news. Now in that place, the gospel is preached. Yes, I was the privilege to see all of that. And I was the privilege to have meetings. I was the privilege to preach the gospel to the parliamentarian. I was the privilege to preach the gospel to the ministers. I was the privilege to see the salvation. I was the privilege to see the falling of the communism. Growing as a Christian man, Christian boy, and then young man into the Christian family. It was not easy. It was not easy to be in the way. You have to know God. You have to believe God. And I do remember when the principal from the school was coming to my parents and saying, don't ruin the future of your children. We forbid you to do that. And they were telling us, boys, we were five brothers. They were telling us, boys, don't believe and trust your parents. Don't listen to them. Your parents don't know anything. Don't listen to them. Your parents are uneducated people. Your parents don't know anything about science. Your parents don't know. They have no any education. And of course, that was true. My mom graduated from one class. My father graduated from three classes. But the only one difference was between my parents and my principal from the school, that my parents, they knew the Lord. They didn't know too much about science. They didn't know too much about the history, maybe. They didn't know too much about all other things. But the one thing they knew the Lord. And they prayed for us. And they prayed for us. And they prayed so that we would know the Lord personally. And that makes the difference in our life. And I can see that. I'm thinking now myself. I went to the army, and in Soviet army, in those days, 2 years, mandatory, I have to serve there. And in those years, the communists were offering me, you may become the member of the Communist Party. We can grant this to you if you will sign just that you willingly agree this. And then all doors are open, green lights everywhere. You will go to the university. Of course, I was not accepted to the university because I was a Christian. Christian people could not go and study. But they told me, if you will be a member of the Communist Party, then of course you will be in the university. And after you graduate from university, you will have a great position. You will have, and you will be something and someone in this society. And I'm thinking now, what would happen if I would accept that satanic offer? I would graduate from the university. I just only would start to work. And the freedom and the changes started to come. And I would lose everything, everything. But I'm so thankful that I became and I was faithful to the Lord. And the Lord, the call he placed in my heart helped me to go through and understand that this is his purpose to our life. To obey God. To obey him. Of course, it's a lot of opportunities. It's wide open door. Good possibilities to preach the gospel. Still, after 20 years in the country of Moldova. It is not so in all the countries of the former Soviet Union, especially in the southern countries, those like Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Azerbaijan, Muslim countries. It's not easy now to preach the gospel. Last October, I met with the leaders from all area, from former Soviet Union area. And they shared how difficult and how tough is in their area now to preach the gospel. And they have pastors who have been arrested and sentenced to prison. They have leaders. They have evangelists. It is difficult for them to do, but still they say, they ask us to pray for them so that they will be able more and more preach the gospel in their nations. It's no easy. It's not really open and easy now to do the same in White Russia or called Belarus. The door looks like closed, but still the churches are doing His work. In our country, we have wide open door, or it's better to say there is no door at all. It's a gap. It's an opening. Go forth and do whatever you can do. It's a privileged generation. My kids, they haven't seen what I've seen when I grew up. And my prayer is so that they will never see and experience what we experienced when I grew up in my father's family. Yes, but at the same time, God placed us in this very privileged time to do His work. And the Bible says, to whom is much given, much will be required. And this brings me to a responsibility. We are privileged, but this makes us responsible. Responsible. Responsible for this time. And always I'm asking question myself, Lord, it is enough what we are doing, or we can do something else, something more. It is enough. How would those people who were before us in ministry, how would be those pastors acting who were sentenced to prison, who spent 15, 20, 25 years in prison, if you would grant them this time, how they would do this work? But we are the privileged generation. And our responsibility is to pass the ministry down to the younger generation so that they will be continuously working and doing what God opened the possibility for us to do. Last year, it was like a breakthrough in our ministry. Of course, in these 20 years, we've seen great God's success. We were able to see how God is moving. When I started the ministry, I never had a chance to go to the Bible school. Now we have Bible schools. Now we have seminaries. Now we have bachelor's degrees. We have master's degree. We have doctors. And those people who have possibility, they have a possibility to go. We are working in three directions. And we say this is number one is reaching people. For us, that's missions and evangelism. That's most important to us. Secondly, it's the teaching people. It's education. And the third direction is helping people. We live in the poorest country of the Europe. You know, the president of Moldova declared once, not far, maybe several months ago, that the world economical crisis did not affect Moldova at all. And I think you realized already why. It did not go yet so deep to reach us there. We already there. I lived in America in 99 when we lived here. Some of you remember this Y2K problem. It's a big problem was. And I asked my friend, tell me, explain me, what does mean Y2K? Well, the computers will shut down, so what? Then the electricity will shut down, so what else? The running water, so what else? Well, in the store will be difficult to buy and all that, so what else? He looked at me and says, it's nothing for you. I said, well, in Moldova there is no electricity. There is no running water. There is no computers in the store, but lives go on. Everything will be fine. If people in Moldova can live, people in America can live and enjoy and rejoice, because this is a good time. This is a good time. I want to challenge you. If you want to find out how blessed you are, build a team and this summer, welcome to Moldova. And then you will come back and you will be inspired by everything what it is in this nation. Of course, everything we realize and we understand by the comparing, when we have to compare with what. In Moldova, doesn't mean or doesn't matter what kind of economical situation, the gospel is still preached. And this is the most important to us. And we say this way, if you have a mouth, God wants to use it so that you can preach the gospel. If you are born again believer, God needs your godly life, and then you will become a true witness to your neighbor or to somebody else. It doesn't matter economical situation, political situation, the gospel will be preached. The gospel will be preached. Of course, as I said, Moldova, the poorest country in the Europe. The situation is very difficult for the, especially young people, children. 25% of our people, they have left the country. They went somewhere out to work because they cannot find a job there. Those people who have a job in Moldova, they receive about $150 per month. The retired people, they receive about from $30 to $90 per month. Brother Peter's Borsch wife, Tamara, she is retired and she receives $30 pension. If you want to know that a lot of not, the gas price in Moldova twice expensive than what you have in America. When you go to the store to buy things, a lot, much more things are cheaper in America compared to what we have in our country. So it's very difficult for our people. This is why we have this one direction, reaching people or helping people. Helping people. By doing this, of course, we do this as an open, using this as an open door to reach people with the gospel. And this, of course, we started last year, like a new approach to share the gospel and to preach the gospel. And God is using young people, teams from existing churches. When they are building this team and with the pastor, they are going to a neighbor village or town and they start there a new church. But the way how they are going there for 1 week as a team. They sleep there, they leave, they stay there for the whole week. And from morning till evening, they work. They go around the community and they help people. They clean the street. They help poor people. They had sick people, needy people. They paint, they remodel, they do whatever needs to be done. And of course, when 25, 30 young people come to a neighbor village, of course, that is very vivid. People can see them. And they were looking and asking what kind of people these are. They come and they do this work, but they don't charge for what they are doing. They, even though they bring their own materials and they use that to do something. But then, of course, these people are inviting people and telling them, of course, you can come for every night. We have an evangelistic meeting. And people are coming for those meetings. People are coming. And I will tell you just two of those experiences. In one of the village, the young people went and they started to preach the gospel and evangelizing. And, of course, they were working there. Orthodox priest, he raised up an opposition to fight against. And he came to our pastor and he said, why you are doing this? You never done this before. And the pastor says, I'm so sorry. And I already asked forgiveness from the Lord that I didn't do this before. But I will promise you that from now on, we will do it every year in all the villages. And then, of course, when they were doing those crusades and evening services, there was not far away another village. And in that village was the Baptist church. And pastor of that Baptist church adopted a young girl into his family. And that girl lived for 2 years in his family. But He saw that something wrong goes on with that young girl. She looks depressed and she's not happy, even though she was coming to their church. But it's something. She was considered that she is sick. She need maybe to see doctor, but doctors could not help. And then he decided to come to our evangelistic outreaches. And he said that Pentecostals, they are praying for sick people. I will go there and ask them to pray for this young girl. And when he came to that meeting, and our people started to pray for, she was not sick, she was demon-possessed. And the manifestation of that demonic power was in that place, and she was thrown on the ground. And that team, young people, surrounded her, and more than an hour, they were praying. And there was pastors there who commanded in the name of Jesus that evil spirit to come out. And that evil spirit left that girl. She was set free. And when she was set free, she stood up, she raised her hands, and God filled her with the Holy Spirit. And she started to praise God in the tongues. But then the pastor who brought that girl to that place is a Baptist pastor. Well, the Spirit of God was there. He is reaching the Baptist as well. So God baptized that pastor also with the Holy Spirit. God gave a gift of prophecy to that girl, and now she is in church and God using her through that prophetic ministry, and she is ministering in the church. Another team, they went to another village. About 25 young people, they went there and they started there to do the work and preach and organizing the meeting and all that. But of course, 25 kids, children, young people are there, and they need a lot of food for 1 week. And of course, they had some money because our churches, they took an offering so that to support this outreach. And they were buying bread every morning from the store. But there is no local bakery in that village. So the store was always delivered from the city bakery. Every morning the truck was coming with the bread. So the bread was on sale. And one morning when the team went to the store to buy bread in the morning, there is no bread in the store because the truck did not come. So the salesman said, the bread will not be today in the store. But the night before, there is another village there not far away from that place, and there is a church there. And the pastor's wife was woke up in the middle of the night by the Lord, and the Lord told her, wake up and bake bread and bring this bread to that village because my people is working there and they need bread. That wife, she woke up. And she woke her husband and she told, you know, this is what I received from the Lord. And her husband looked at her and he said, listen, I don't think this is from the Lord. There is no even church and Christian people in that village. And you are telling me that there is Christian people who need bread? That's not be true. But of course, his wife said, no, I believe this is from the Lord. She woke up and she started to bake bread all night. In the morning, the bread was ready. They put all the bread in the horse wagon and they went to that village. And when they went to that village, exactly, they met with the group who was coming from the store with the news, there is no bread for today. But he is coming, the horse wagon, bringing bread into the village because my people will need the bread. I want to tell you, we had a lot of people who were telling us in the past, oh, you know, in order for us to go and do something for the Lord and preach the gospel, we have to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to perform miracles and signs. We have to be someone and then we will go. We have to have everything. We have to be equipped with everything. And I say, yes, that's right. That's true. And God already provided everything for us. The only one thing he waiting so that we will go. Last September, we had a national conference. About 1,000 people were gathering together for 3 days, and the topic theme of that conference was, "And they went." And after they went, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 16, last verse says, and the Lord worked with them. But they went first. They went. These people, they went. They didn't know that there will be no bread. They didn't know what to expect. But the Lord was working with them, performing signs and miracles and confirming His word by this. And we give glory to God for everything, what the Lord is doing and what the Lord will be doing. Our great desire now is to plant more churches. As I said, the last year was a breakthrough for us in Moldova, and especially among the young people. And we are so grateful, gratefully to God, that God now is calling young people into the ministry. Peter and I, in January, we ordained 11 young men to be in the ministry. When we return home, we have 25 more people to be ordained and to be established into the ministry. We are so thankful to God that God is answering the call, the prayer of the people, and He is calling new people into the ministry. Of course, those young men, I will tell you just one small story about young pastor. 24 years old, married, had 2 kids. He went to a town and planted a church. And when he was working and planting that church, it was so tough and difficult for him to be there. The Orthodox priests, they were against him. They were mocking and putting him down. Sometimes he was beaten by the people in that town. And it was so powerful opposition. When he had a meeting and people gathered before he started to preach, the Orthodox priests were entering into the sanctuary, not sanctuary, but that place. And he was the priest was standing there and saying, "Everybody should go out. You should not be here, because this is the sect, this is the people who should not be in our community here. We need to drive them out." They were so against, but the church was praying. The church was praying. That was a group of people. And of course, that group of people started to gather more and more. And the God was speaking to them. And one day, God said to them, "I will do my work in this place, and you will see my hand, and I will deliver you from the evil people." They said, "Well, Lord, thank you. But what's going on, we don't know." And of course, 1 week later, after that, that priest who was working against, he was killed in the car accident. And then everyone in that town was silent. That gave a possibility to the church to explode and to work. And that young man started now to train young people from that local church so that he will have a team to send them out to a neighbor village. And one day they came to me and says, "Brother Victor, we set up a project called Sinai 30. And I said, "What is mean?" They said, "You know, our town is like on the hill, but around this hill there are 30 villages. And there is no evangelical churches in these villages. Now, we set up this project. We started to pray. And I already prepared 7 young men to send them to these villages. So we would like to start churches in these villages. And we believe in the next 10 years, in all 30 churches, we will have 1 evangelical church." Of course, we prayed with them. And they went to a neighbor village, and it's the same was opposition, the same was everything, but the God was behind that. And He came and said, "The only one thing and one request we have for you, please help us not lose these young people so that they will not run somewhere from Moldova. The economical situation is so bad in Moldova, so the people, of course, everybody wants to leave it. We have 1 million people, as I said, left Moldova. And we have a survey which shows to us that another 1 million people ready to leave on the first chance, if they will have this chance, a possibility to leave Moldova. It's very tough. It's very difficult. And he said, I want to ask you to pray for these young people, young men, and help them so that they would go in those villages. They will stay there and they will preach the gospel and help them to build the churches. And I asked him, how much do you need to support for one of those young pastors? He said, we need $150 per month. And that man can preach full time the gospel and he plant churches there. It's something what we can do it now, and it's still the door is open to do that. The pastor of one group, as I told you, that he went to a village and God supplied with them with the bread, came to us just before we came to America, and he said, the past 2 Sundays, 12 more people were saved. But in that 1 week, 42 adults people were saved. And now he said, we have a church, more than 50 adults saved. We have a children there, and we have a good group of people around us. And now we are teaching them, we are instructing them, we are giving them some lectures on preparing and making them ready for to be baptized. But he said, we don't have place. Where should we be having our services? 70 people, houses in the village, they are too small. They cannot fit so many people. The biggest house was the mayor house. And the mayor said, I know that you have this problem, but if you need this place, I would like you to welcome to our house, and in our home you can have your services. And when he said to me this, is the mayor was not Christian yet. And when he said me this, I said, Lord, this is the miracle you doing. I know the mayors who were arresting Christian people. I know the mayors who fired. I know the mayor who fired my father from his job because he said he is not worthy to build a communistic society. I know the mayors who were coming and disturbing the Christian during the prayer time. I know the mayor who were watching all the believers where they were gathering together. They were not allowing for Christian people to come together. But now we live in a different time, a different day, when the mayor of the village says, come, and in my home, because it's big enough, you can have services. And then later the mayor said, there is a building done finishing construction in this village that used to be a store building. They started to build a store building, but they never finished. And the owner of that building does not want to sell that building because he doesn't like it if someone will buy it and will open another store in the village. And because of the competition, he said, no, I will not sell it. But mayors asked him, will you sell to the church? And he said, yes, if to the church, I will sell that to the church. Now the church got the possibility. He's asking $6,000 to buy that building, to sell that building. And the church is now praying, raising some money, and they were asking, help us with all of it. We have people, we don't have facilities where to have services. I said, this is a good thing. This is a good. For me, it's worst would be when you will have building and no people. But when you have people and no building, this is great. God will provide you building. God will provide you all necessary. But be faithful and do what God called you to do. Preach the gospel and invite people for salvation. This is the time we live in. And I appreciate your prayer and your support during these days. I appreciate that your church was always involved with us in this work, in the ministry. And I believe when we will come to the end in the kingdom of God, we will meet someone who will come and will say, thank you. that you were the part of what God did in my life. We give glory to God for everything what God is doing, but we now want to work more and more to extend the kingdom of God. Our goal is to see 500 churches in Moldova at the end of 2010. And that means we need to plant around 150, 40, 60 some churches still. And we believe this year will be the year the most successful in church planting. And we expect, because already our missions department started to build these missions teams. And these missions teams, they are built and set up together so that they will go out. And I got to report only one region, one of five regions, already built 16 teams. They are now praying and they are targeting specific villages. They will go and will plant churches. That means 16 churches already have been planted. Have been designed to be planned in this coming nearest future. But we have more churches, more people who will do the same. So please pray for us. God bless you. And I want to tell you once again, welcome to Moldova. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor.